Good to see you tonight. We're grateful that you're here, and we appreciate the visitors that we have. We welcome you. We hope that your time with us is useful and edifying to you and the things of God. We appreciate and know that your presence is encouraging to us. As always, we invite you, if you have any questions of what we say or do, we'd be happy to receive those from you. And if you believe that we've said something or done something that is not in the Word of God, then if you think that we don't accurately explain something from the Scriptures or we misapply something from the Scriptures, then please talk to me about that so we can discuss it together. I didn't learn this yesterday, but I remembered this yesterday talking with Philip and Ashley some about meeting the parents back when they were dating. She said, "Oh yeah, Joe, it was intimidating to meet you." And I said, "Well, why?" I said, "Because you're the preacher." Yeah, and I'm afraid sometimes we develop that attitude. Maybe people have that attitude. "I don't want to say anything to the preacher. It's too intimidating or something." Well, I hope I'm not intimidating, but you can ask me, and I'll just bite off one ear. I won't bite off both ears. I'll go easy. if you think that we say something, misapply something, then please let me know. We want to talk. We want to teach God's word in the right way, and we want to say the right. We want to teach what is right, as well as present it in an effective way, so that we can know the truth and from God's word be persuaded to live His truth, live by faith. As Caleb read for us just now in Matthew 16th chapter, the passage says that Jesus said He was going to build something. And anytime Jesus was going to build something, we ought to listen and pay attention and wonder what that is. You know, He grew up the son of a carpenter, and He learned that trade Himself. He's referred to as the carpenter. But what He built was not out of wood or stone or mortar. What He built was an assembly of those who were saved, His church. He said, "I'll build My church, and the gates of hell, the strength and power of hell, of the grave," Hades He uses, "will not prevail against it." Jesus is alluding to the fact that He would die and that He would be resurrected from the dead. Death would not contain Him. It would not defeat Him. We live to die. We are going to die. It's been said we're all living to die. You see, we're all going to be resurrected from the dead. The question is, will we be resurrected unto life or unto condemnation? The gospel of Jesus is the good news that there's a Savior who redeems us from our sins against God. That He will forgive us our transgressions, our sins against Him, and that we can walk in newness of life. Our sins can be washed away, and we can live with Jesus now and eternally. If that's what you need in your life, then we urge you tonight to put your faith in Jesus. Tonight, make the commitment of heart, change your heart about the sin in your life, and tonight confess Jesus as your Lord, as the Savior, as the Christ, and be baptized into Him. Come into a relationship with Jesus. Let His blood wash your sins away. He will add you to His church. And as a member of His body, you can live for Him and live according to His will. It will mean sacrifice. It will mean denying self. It will mean putting Him first and not yourself any longer. But you see, when we fully commit ourselves in heart and life to Jesus, then that's the price we're willing to pay, because we know the price Jesus paid for us. As He gave His life on the tree, on the cross, the sinless one, so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. We urge you to respond to the call of the gospel at the end of this lesson, so that you can have salvation in the Lord. But as God's people, once saved in the Lord, we have a responsibility to walk in the light as He is in the light. We have a responsibility that if we sin, we cannot say we have no sin. We cannot say sin does not affect our relationship with God. It is what separates man from God. Israel, the people of God, were separated from God by their sin. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And in like manner, Christians are told in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we cannot walk in sin and darkness and go to heaven. So if there's sin in our lives as a Christian, we need to repent of it. We need to confess our sins to God, as He's commanded and taught us in 1 John 1:9. And He has promised He will forgive us. He will bring us into harmony with Him through His forgiveness as we respond to Him in faith. I'd like to talk to you tonight, especially this lesson is designed for those who are in the Lord's church, and for us to ask this fundamental question, is it a church of Christ? Now, when we use that expression, church of Christ, and we'll have opportunity to mention this a few times as we go through our study, but we want to repeat it and remind ourselves that when we speak of and use that expression, we are not talking about a denomination. There are no denominations in the New Testament. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And He adds Christians to His church. He doesn't divide His church into churches. That is, X denomination, Y denomination, and Z denomination. But we do read about local congregations, local churches of Christ, don't we? We understand that the Lord's church is not a denomination. And yet there seems to be an attitude. I don't know if trend's the right word or not. I use trend in some of my notes and maybe in the bulletin. And I don't know, trend might be a little too much, but there's certainly been an attitude developed among some brethren and application by some brethren to remove Christ from the identifying description of the people of God. Now, and so to remove off Christ and simply refer in an identifying way, the church meets here, or Christians meet here. Now again, remembering, this is not about suggesting that by wearing Church of Christ, we recognize ourselves as a denomination. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. There's no headquarters on the earth. There's nobody we report to. Nobody that responds to us and tells us how we're supposed to organize ourselves and respond to the headquarters and send dues to the ruling body and send representatives to the ruling body or to the conference or to the convention every so often and vote and decide what we're going to believe and how we're going to act. And there's not any of that here because there's not any of that in the Bible. That's happened. That's been added by men hundreds and hundreds, yea, thousands of years after the New Testament. So we understand that. We know that that's an addition to what the Bible teaches. We need to know that when we use the expression Church of Christ, it is not a church title. And I'm afraid that sometimes we have fallen into that concept and began to think that way when we ought not think that way. The church, when we use the Mount Baker Church of Christ, it's not a church title. It is not a denominational title. It is a description of who we are. It is a name, but it's not some official title that we stamp upon ourselves to some way validate who we are. We understand the New Testament identifies the church based on several different things. For example, on location. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, we understand that there Paul writes to the church of God which is at Corinth. So the church that belongs to God. See, church of means that which belongs to. It's possessive. When we say church of Christ, we simply are describing the church that belongs to Christ. It's a possessive description of the body, of the group. And so when Jesus said, I will build my church, He's not assigning a title to it, but rather He was identifying a group of called out ones. Church means called out. called out by the gospel, called out of the darkness of sin, called into fellowship with the Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 1 Peter 2:9, other like passages. Called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14 and 15. So that it describes the church that belongs to Him. Well, we read about the church of God at Corinth. It's God's church. Jesus is deity. So there's no problem there. We identify that and understand that. Galatians 1 and verse 2, the churches of Galatia. Paul's writing wrote to the churches, plural, congregations of Galatia. Now again, he's not talking about denominations in Galatia. There were no such critters. Denominate means to separate, to name and separate. To name and so to distinguish. So you have denominations that separated and divided and identified themselves according to those divisions. But Christ is not divided, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. So God's people, Christians in who assembled in particular locations, were called churches. Sometimes New Testament identifies local churches based on their composition. 1 Thessalonians 1:1 says, Paul is writing to the church of the Thessalonians. That is, it was in Thessalonica, that's its location, and it was composed of the citizens of Thessalonica, who lived Christians who lived in Thessalonica. So they were citizens of that city, but they were members of Christ's church, His body. They belonged to Him, but that's what it was composed of. And of course, sometimes churches are referred to concerning the relationship that they have with Jesus. Romans 16:16, Paul says, wrote, "The churches of Christ salute you." So here are the churches that belong to Christ. That is, the congregations or assemblies of Christians in particular locations. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul said, "Take heed to yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to tend the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." So, church of God, or church of the Lord, depending on translation, speaks of the relationship they have with the Lord because He purchased it with His own blood. The church is purchased with the blood of Jesus. That makes the church important. Church matters. The church is are the saved ones. How could it not but matter? How can we say the Savior matters but those He saves don't matter? Well, because a lot of people think of the church in a totally denominational concept. And then they turn around and say, well, the denomination is not important. We agree. It's not important. It's not in the Bible, so we're not going to be a part of it. We want to use Bible words for Bible things. We want to speak as the Bible speaks. We want to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and 11, when we talk about Christ's church. But there's been some in Christ's church that are of the notion, for a variety of reasons, that we need to eliminate and no longer use Church of Christ. And so they essentially remove Christ from the identification that identifies them and associates them with Him. And that movement away from using Church of Christ obscures the exclusive identity of the church. The church is exclusive because Christ is exclusive. Men didn't build the church. We didn't die for the church. See? Christ died for the church. He purchased it with His blood. It's His bride. He's its head. It's His body. It's God's family. It's His kingdom. He's the king. All those descriptions of the church are used to talk about the relationship the saved have with the Savior. But when we remove and no longer we remove Christ from identifying who we are, and it's not wrong to call ourselves the church, clearly, but we're not going to use Church of Christ, then we begin to obscure our exclusive identity. If we're not, whose church are we? If we're not God's, if we're not Christ's, and how will anybody know whose we are? Unfortunately, there seems to be this attitude among some of, we got to get rid of the old Church of Christ. And anything that they view as, quote, traditional, then we got to do away with that. And it's in with the new church. So it's in with Christians meet here and out with the Church of Christ. Because that's old, that's traditional, that has been. We need to be the new church. And you're talking about being progressive, and they progress themselves right away from the Word of God in some of these things. I want to explore that with you tonight and examine some of this from the Scriptures. I want to do it, first of all, by just trying to focus on what we're describing here. You see, Church of Christ, when we talk about Christ's church, identification requires recognition. If we don't recognize something, we can't identify it. That's true of people. It's true of a church. You remember, we were studying Job this morning. It said when his three friends saw him, they did not recognize him. Now, they eventually identified him, but recognition is a part of identification, isn't it? If we're going to identify a person or a group, we've got to recognize that person or that group. We cannot identify without identity. I think I misworded that. Without identity, we don't have the ability to recognize and distinguish. Okay? Names, descriptions, identify. Identify who we are and distinguish us from somebody else. Our name identifies us and it distinguishes us from someone else. And so we give our children names. We identify them with those names and we distinguish them as belonging to us and not belonging to somebody else. Well, when Jesus talks about His church, He identifies His church. And so that we can recognize His church, those who are saved by Him, and we can distinguish them from others who might claim to be saved by Him, and yet are not really His. You see, the fact of the matter is, using the expression Church of Christ has served well through the generations, all the way back to Romans 16:16. All the way back to the New Testament. The church, the assembly, the called out that belongs to Jesus Christ in a particular location. And simply because it served well and has been handed down as per Romans 16 and verse 16 doesn't mean it's something that now is out of date. Now is not useful any longer. Let me illustrate what we're describing here about identity requiring recognition. I just went online the other day and just looked up some churches. Westside Church. Well, what do you know about this Westside Church? What can you identify about this Westside Church when you hear its name, its identification, Westside Church? Well, I guess it's on the west side. We know that. And it's a church. We know that. What else do you know about it? Can you identify anything else about it? Well, it must be a Church of Christ because it's a West Side. It's a church, right? Nope. It's Presbyterian Church of America. That's what it is. I had to do a little more digging to find out. So you see, without some identity, we can't really recognize or distinguish the group. Well, I did a little more search, and I found the East Side Church. You can't read the small print now up here very well. The Oakhurst Church is now Eastside Church. It's on the east side too, so we've got a west side and we've got an east side. But same church, new name, it says. Well, you might think that might be a Church of Christ, but no, that's a United Methodist Church. Again, illustrating that a group can call itself a church, but it may or may not be identified with Jesus. These are identified with the Presbyterians. These are identified with the Methodists. Those are denominations of men. We don't read about Presbyterians or Methodists in the Bible. It's just not there. Presbyterian Church started in the 17th century, 16th century, and the Methodists in the 18th century, denominations of men. Well, what about this one? It says, Christians meet here, and you can't read the small print. This church belongs to Christ. And visitors are welcome, and it's on Livingston Avenue. And the website is christiansmeethere.org. Is this a church of Christ? Would you know from reading that Christians meet here that it's a church that belongs to Jesus? Well, it says it is. This church belongs to Christ. Well, of course, you suppose they said they belong to Christ somewhere along? I imagine they probably did. But Christians meet here. Okay, well, then it says the Christians that meet at Livingston Avenue. But still, I don't know. Are these New Testament Christians, or is this some denomination? Am I able to recognize that these are the people of God? Well, in fact, on their website, it says we are a church you can read about in the Bible. Well, that sounds pretty good. But how is it a church of Christ? I don't know. In fact, I had to go and do some more searching on Google Maps, plug this in and go to the yellow pages and find out that, in fact, indeed, this is the North Livingston Church of Christ in Lutz, Florida. It's a suburb of Tampa. This is where Buddy Payne, president of Florida College, is one of the elders. They don't use Church of Christ. Not on their website at all. Not on there at all. Now, if I just see this, and I don't know anything else, why would I go there any more than I'd go to West Side Church or East Side Church just because it called itself a church? Where's the distinguish? Where's the recognition? Where's the identification that, in fact, this church is Christ? Oh, well, it says it's a church that belongs to Christ. Okay. Joe, you're just getting real nitpicky. Well, no, I think what we're talking about is we begin to see, we've got to ask some questions. Why? Why? You see, the Church of Christ distinguishes possession. It distinguishes us. And it enables identification. It's a church that belongs to Jesus. The church is of Christ. Salute you, Romans 16:16. Applied universally and there applied locally. Ephesians 1:22-23, the church is the body of Christ. He is its head. Again, remembering, Christ is the head of His body, the church, but His body is not made up of churches. See, that's the error and the problem of denominationalism. See, Jesus is the head of His body, the church, and He adds those who are saved to the church, Acts 2:47. He doesn't add churches to the church. He adds individuals to the church because the church is the body of saved ones. Church is applied universally, it's applied locally. In the New Testament, a congregation identified as a church of Christ immediately distinguishes itself from denominations. Or at the very least, it gives us an opportunity to explain. No, we're not a denomination. We're just a church that belongs to Jesus. I don't know how many times somebody asks, well, what church are you a member of? Or what denomination are you? I said, well, we're not a denomination. We're just a church that belongs to Jesus. Just follow the New Testament. And we're just New Testament Christians. But if we don't identify ourselves as belonging to Jesus and just say that Christians meet here, well, that is the denomination say as much. Church meets here doesn't really describe what church. Okay, that's fine. The church meets here, but what church? Who does it belong to? What does it stand for? What's it? You see, from just saying Christians meet here, I really don't know anything more. I don't know, you know, are you following the Bible or not? Church of Christ does make that recognition and that identification and that distinction. For example, what if we only and exclusively described ourselves as the Mount Baker Church? Now, we do that from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that per se, except we're going to say we're not going to use Church of Christ anymore. We're just going to call ourselves the Mount Baker Church. Well, then, legitimately, someone could ask, okay, well, but what church is that? What church is that? You haven't answered that any more than East Side Church or West Side Church, Mount Baker Church. We need more information. We ought to be willing to give people more information than that. Are we suggesting that if it says Church of Christ, are we suggesting that if it says church, then it must belong to Christ? People are just going to automatically know that if you say the church meets here, or Christians meet here, then it's of Christ? I mean, are we being redundant and therefore not needed? No, I don't think we can take that position. That's an incorrect assumption. In James 2 and verse 2, we read of the assembly of Christians. If someone comes into your assembly. Now the word there in synagogue, it's the word from which the word synagogue is generally translated, which means assembly or congregation. Okay? So someone comes into your congregation, into your assembly. That's clearly the Lord's church there, the church of Christ. But you know that same word is used in Revelation 2 and verse 9? It talks about they are a synagogue of Satan, an assembly of Satan. So we could just say an assembly of Christians meet here. But Christians could be in name only and could be serving Satan. Could be claiming the name of Jesus, but by their works deny Him, Paul would write. It's too much an assumption to say, well, if we just identify ourselves as church and everybody knows we belong to Jesus, no. You don't know much of anything except you to call yourself a church. You don't know anything about who you're identifying yourself with yet. Need more information. Why is Christ's name removed from identifying His church? Why is that? Is it? It's clearly how they want to present themselves to the community. Is it to avoid, you know, sometimes the answer is, well, it's to avoid prejudiced minds and prejudicing minds and closing minds. If we identify ourselves as a church of Christ, then we immediately close minds. And we don't want to do that. Well, there's no doubt there's some people who are prejudiced in this world. Sort of like Acts 17 and verse 6, when the Jews were envious at the gospel and the effect of the gospel. And they drug Jason and others before the rulers of the city. And they said, those who turned the world upside down have come here also. They were prejudiced. They turned the world upside down. Should the Apostle Paul have taken greater care of being sure not to identify himself in a way that would have spoken to the prejudiced minds of people? I don't know how you keep from doing that when you teach the gospel truth. Because you see, some are going to react with prejudice. And that's not your fault when you're following the Word of God. That's their choice, not your fault. But others suggest that, I just want to illustrate this. You know, if the concern is so great that if we identify ourselves as a church of Christ, the community is just automatically going to reject anything we have to say, then what about the use of instrumental music? We're going to take of Christ off of our identification so we don't prejudice minds. Well, should we put up a piano in the building so we don't prejudice minds when people come in and they don't see an instrument of music? We will be careful. We don't offend any sensibilities out there. You see, that's foolishness. That's the wisdom of men at work, trying to accommodate ourselves to the way the world thinks, when in fact the gospel, with the militancy of truth, is designed to convict sinners of sin so that they will come to Jesus and follow Him. It's not our business to accommodate truth to the world. We need to preach Christ. Preach Christ. Paul said he preached Christ when crucified. And we have to be willing to do the same. Some seem to want to distance themselves from the traditional churches of Christ because some churches, frankly, haven't served Christ very well. They haven't been the way Christians ought to be. They haven't lived the way Christians ought to live. Some of them have not done the cause of Christ any good. And so some, seeing that abuse and that sin, frankly, and that error, have decided, well, we just don't want to be thought of as a Church of Christ anymore. We want a fresh start. Well, we have the same Lord. We shouldn't be, you know, and we shouldn't be afraid of being identified with Him. That's what Church of Christ is about, is identifying ourselves with Jesus. Not with someone else who has abused that privilege and that relationship and that truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 25 says that we should be holding fast the tradition as it was delivered from the apostles. The passage says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. What if somebody abuses that word delivered from the apostles? And they abuse that pattern handed down by the apostles. Does that mean we're supposed to disassociate ourselves from the pattern, from what is right, because someone abuses what is right? Of course not. But some have said, no, we need to remake ourselves, and we need to just say, we belong to Jesus, and we're a Bible church, and you can read about us in the Bible, and Christians meet here, and then we'll be able to reach people. And we're going to talk to them about the Church of Christ that belongs to Him, that is not a denomination. We're going to talk to them about identifying with His name. At some point, you've got to engage the person who's in error with the truth. At some point, that has to happen. And if we're so intent on not offending anybody, then we're never going to convict of sin. Because remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Truth will offend some people when their heart's not right. Remember, Jesus, after He called the Pharisees and scribes hypocrites, you're worshiping God in vain. His disciples came to Him and said, Lord, don't you know that you offended the Pharisees by what you said? Oh, I don't want to do that. I'll stop. I'll retract everything I said. I don't want to use those words anymore, lest I offend the Pharisees. Jesus said, let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind follow the blind, they'll both fall into the pit. No, Jesus says, keep exposing sin, keep shining the light of truth, so that the blind may see, instead of following those who are blind and fall in the pit with them. That's not how the world thinks. Sadly, that's not how some of our brethren think. And they watered down the gospel, trying to accommodate the world, and it neither saves the world nor themselves, nor does it bring honor to Jesus. What is the scriptural reason? The scriptural reason for erasing the name of Christ from how a church identifies itself? That's all we want. What is the scriptural reason? I know some say, well, it's all just a matter of expediency anyway. What you're going to choose to identify yourself? Well, to some extent, I mean, we could call ourselves a Northside Church like we did when we were on the North Side, but that wouldn't be very expedient now that we're not on the North Side as much. There's some element of expediency there, I suppose. So we chose Mount Baker. But is it just a matter of judgment that we remove Christ from identifying who we belong to? No, I think not. Not if we're going to follow the Bible pattern that we've been talking about tonight. Let me summarize some of this and looking at consequences. If we remove the name of Christ from identifying His church, what are the consequences of that? Well, let's ask some questions. Is it a Church of Christ when it will not wear His name? Is it His when it will not wear His name? When it chooses not to wear His name, does it belong to Him? Because the churches we read of in the New Testament are identified as belonging to Him, belonging to God. Is it a church that belongs to Christ when it will not speak of itself as His church? Some churches describe themselves theologically or conceptually. You know, I don't read about anything like that, any identifications like that. We read about location, we read about composition, you know, the Thessalonians. We read about the church of Ephesus and at Ephesus and so forth, location, but not conceptually. We don't read about it denominationally. So if a church of Christ, or is it a church of Christ when that church will not speak of itself as His? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Jesus said he put Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. So if the body doesn't identify itself with the head, then is it really His? There's one body. He's the Savior of the body. So if the body chooses not to identify itself with Jesus, is it really His? Is it a church of Christ when it does not glorify His name, His power, His authority? The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were associated with their Savior. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in this name. If individuals can glorify God in the name, in our name, Christian, by the choices of serving Him and honoring and obeying Him, what about the church? If a church of Christ will not and rejects and will not identify with Jesus, how is it glorifying Jesus? Is it a church of Christ when it does not distinguish itself from the churches of men? When you put them side to side, side by side, and you can't tell any difference? Does it belong to Jesus? Because the church we read about in the New Testament is strikingly different. Strikingly different. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6, 7, and 17. Or Acts 28 in verse 22 refers to the Christians here when it says, in the Lord's church, it said, we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. This sect, these Christians who are meeting in these locations and calling themselves churches of Christ, Romans 16, 16. It's everywhere spoken against. So we come along today and say, we don't want to be spoken against. Let's remove Church of Christ. Let's call ourselves a church or Christians meet here. We don't want to be spoken against. So are we really His? If we're more concerned with how we're spoken about by men than being recognized by Jesus? Is it a church of Christ when it tries to be non-confrontational by identifying itself as a church and not as a church of Christ? So we don't want any controversy. We want everything to be positive. But Jesus said, he that's ashamed of me and of my words, I'll be ashamed of him when I return. That's a paraphrase. Let's read it. Mark 8:38. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. If that's true of one Christian who's ashamed of Jesus, then what if a group of Christians don't want to identify with Jesus because they don't want to be confrontational? That seems like they're ashamed to me. Now they may resist, they may object, but sometimes the proof's in the pudding. Is it His church? If we're more concerned about not confronting those in error than we are with identifying ourselves with Jesus? Is it a church of Christ when it's more concerned about marketing itself to the world than it is about preaching the gospel to the lost world? You see, that's what churches of men do. They market themselves. You got to market yourself to the people, you know. And you can go out there and you can get on the internet and you can go around town and you can see churches marketing themselves all over the place. And you can see it among some churches of Christ too. They market their young people. They market a variety of things. If a church is more concerned about marketing itself to the world. And you know, statistics have found that if you say Church of Christ, then people are going to, you know, there's only a 30% chance they'll listen to you. But if you remove Church of Christ, then you got an 80% chance of them listening to you. Well, that's fine. Let's remove something else. Let's go talk about baptism, because a whole lot of people don't want to hear that. And they'll eliminate sin, because nobody wants to hear about sin. And hell, not so much these days. We start trying to market ourselves instead of teaching the whole counsel of God to try to save the lost. Brethren, we got the wrong point of view. We don't have the Bible point of view any longer. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6-9 commends the Thessalonians how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. How they under much affliction. It is very commendable. He says, in much affliction, they became followers of the apostles and of the Lord, and received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So, is it a church when it does that? Well, let me put this in an even more emphatic way, and then we'll close. Same questions, but let's put it this way. It is not a Church of Christ when it will not wear the name of Jesus. When you don't want to wear His name, how can you claim to be His? How can you claim to be His? It's not a Church of Christ when it will not speak of itself as His church. Is it? We don't want to talk about ourselves as a church that belongs to Christ. Some people see that as a denomination, but it's not. I'm not going to give up truth because some people don't understand truth or pervert truth. You don't give up truth just because some people pervert it and twist it. You explain the truth. You explain the called out, the saved ones. They belong to Jesus. It's not a denomination. It's not some title that we all voted on and agreed upon. It's descriptive of who we are, of the relationship we have with the Savior. It's not His church if it will not glory in His name. How could it be? If we're ashamed of His name, if it refuses to distinguish itself from the churches of men, there is a distinction. Christ's church is exclusive. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I'm not going to build Joe Price's church. I'm not going to build John Wesley's church. I'm not going to build Martin Luther's church or anybody else's church, but Christ's church. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that. But that's Bible, brethren. Matthew 16, 18, I'll build my church. The gospel calls us out of the churches of men, out of the denominations, to the simple New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. So let Him add us to His church. And then when churches that belong to Christ are unwilling to identify themselves with Him, what's happening? We're letting the world define who we intend to be. We cannot do that. It is not a Church of Christ if it tries to be non-confrontational when it says, we're not going to be a Church of Christ any longer. We're going to be a community church. Remove Church of Christ. That's too offensive. That's too negative. There's a Church of Christ in this town right now that's done that very thing, brethren. You know that. Sterling Drive Church has all but eliminated Church of Christ, because now it's a community church. More concerned about marketing itself than preaching the gospel, it's not Christ's church any longer. We know that that can happen. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we know that churches that belong to Jesus can reach a point where they're not His any longer. He said, I will remove your candlestick or your lampstand out of its place. And we need to let that soak in. We may belong to Jesus today, but will it be so next year, next decade, next century? or will it be removed out of His place? Will He no longer walk among us because we have chosen to no longer walk with Him? Church, so important to Jesus, He died for it, that He might purchase it with His blood, that He might sanctify it, cleanse it through the washing of water and the Word, Ephesians 5:25, to save the lost, to add them to the body, to His bride, that He might bring them into an eternal home. If churches of Christ choose to fall from the pattern of sound words and no longer identify themselves with Jesus, we must continue to be faithful. We must continue to identify ourselves as belonging to Jesus. If that light goes out, if it's diminished, if it's extinguished, then how will we be able to call a lost world? How will we be able to set an example to the lost that there is a church that belongs to Jesus? We're saved by Him. And He calls you to that relationship so that we can then worship Him and serve Him in spirit and worship in spirit and truth and serve Him with diligence and faithfulness. Paul said to Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner." 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. I pray that we will not be ashamed of our Lord, but that we'll also understand that when we identify ourselves as a church of Christ, that's a very serious thing. We're saying we belong to Jesus. We're His, not ours. We don't make the rules. We follow Jesus. If that's your desire, if that's what you want, then we urge you to listen to His Word and in faith obey it. Because Jesus is the one who said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned." The way to be condemned is not to believe that Jesus is the Christ, to have no faith. But to be saved, He says, believe and be baptized. It will be by His power, through His grace, as you respond to Him in faith, that He will save you from your sins. Make that decision tonight. Become a Christian. Let Jesus add you to His church. And then live for Him. Wear the name Christian and be a member of a local assembly of Christians that belong to Jesus. His church, the Church of Christ. Won't you come while we stand and sing?